Matthew chapter 3. This is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Passover. It was the day we celebrate as Christians of the finished work of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. So I want to read Matthew chapter 3 in the light of that. Jesus, or John, is speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he is one who's coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Lord, bless this thy word. May it spark a light in us and a flame in us and an explosion in us. In Jesus' name. John the Baptist spoke these amazing words. And he refers to Jesus as the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What do we know? We know one thing for sure. If somebody is baptized in the Spirit, it's done by Jesus. Jesus is not only the Savior, he is our baptizer, the one who baptizes us in the Spirit. He's speaking in this passage of two baptisms. One, a baptism in water that John could give, and two, a baptism in the Spirit that only Jesus could qualify to perform. It's interesting that both, he says, I baptize you, so we know something about that, and he said there's somebody coming who will do a far greater job than that, and he's qualified. And of course, John is speaking of the relative greatness of Jesus, how great he is compared to himself, and the relative greatness of the baptism of the Spirit compared with that of water. Not that water isn't important, but it's not as important as this other baptism. He suggests that the baptism of the Spirit is on a higher plane than the baptism with water. Both are necessary. One is on a higher plane. Regeneration, or new birth, or being born again, experiencing the life of Jesus, it's the first experience when we confess our sins, when we meet Christ, when we open our hearts and he writes our name on the Lamb's Book of Life. That stage, that moment, that is the first thing we experience. And we say to people, have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you experienced new life in Christ? Have you passed from death to life? Don't we? We ask that often. One of the first things, when did you come to know the Lord? All right, so that's the first experience somebody is going to have, is that experience of regeneration or being a new birth. Then what follows that? Then comes water baptism. New birth followed by water baptism. And then we should continue on to yet a higher experience. And the higher experience is the baptism of the Spirit, namely that of baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's anticipated in Scripture that it's going to happen because that's the progression. Open my heart, experience forgiveness, get baptized in water in the name of Jesus, come out of there in newness of life, my world behind me, my cross before me, and what do? I go to the baptizer who has come to baptize us. That's what he's come to do. You don't have to say, Lord, I'm going to bring this. We can come. We can run. We can come as quick as we can so that we don't miss anything, that we have everything that God has planned for us. So this is what John is suggesting as he places these two baptisms side by side, one laid down beside the other. He points out that there is that something in salvation that we as humans can do. There is something we can do. We can't do much, but we can do something. And what is that? Water baptism is such an act that we must comply with. It's just the next thing. I can do that. We can baptize each other. That's one thing we can do. John was baptizing somebody else. You can baptize somebody else. We could have a people up here and lining up and say, we're going to baptize you. We'll pick you and you and you and you to do the baptisms. or Owen and Brian, or who could be, it could be anybody. And so we say here, and they could, so we say, now we're going to have a water baptism service, and people step forward knowing that another human being is performing that. And it's quite all right. It's quite acceptable. It's the one thing, it's that something in salvation that we as humans can do. We can baptize each other, but John himself says, he that comes after me is mightier than me. Now we're getting closer. There comes one who will do that which no man can do. Which no man can do. We could stand here till we dropped over. And you cannot do what Jesus said he would do. That's thrilling. It's thrilling as we welcome in any service, but as we welcome, you know, the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us all with his wonderful, wonderful baptism. There's something glorious, isn't there? Even when I read that, didn't you find something in your heart? There's something glorious in the presentation by John the Baptist. It shows that the baptism with the Spirit is something great, something wonderful, something mighty. He said, he's coming. That one, not the one who baptizes. He said, I can do that, and I'm doing that, and he was doing that. But there's somebody coming that will do something that I can't do. He is the mighty one, the mighty baptizer. And he comes to fill us to overflowing. And so we ask the question then, of course, because this is always the question. We don't usually have an argument with that part that I've shared so far. But the question is, how can we receive this Holy Spirit baptism? Now, I know tonight there will be probably laying on hands of anything that moves. Get a bunch of happy Christians together and a Holy Spirit day. That's all they needed, right? And so there, I know Graham Fletcher. How many know Graham? Gifted speaker, interesting guy. You don't want to miss that tonight. It'll be real good. So as we gather together, we're just open to what the Lord would have. But the question is, how can we receive this Holy Spirit baptism at any time, at any place? Well, how does that done? So these are some of the things I wrote down for myself. Number one, we must have a clean heart and salvation from all known sin. That's the first thing. Acts 15, you can read that about, he said he's given the Holy Spirit to us as he did at the beginning. For anyone who seeks a spiritual experience, this is one of the most important things to remember, that we must always begin with a cleansing of the heart. I know that some people, they will offer a 25-cent prayer and expect $1 million answer. But they didn't check their hearts. They didn't check to see if there was things that would hinder. There's something that would hinder me receiving this glorious, mighty, tremendous, wonderful baptism. How, if Jesus has come, how do I do that? No, I make sure my heart has been dealt with, completely dealt with. And even to say, Lord, is there anything? Oh, I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to purify me. If there's an attitude, if there's selfishness, if there's self-promotion, if there's whatever there might be in my heart, if I'm not taking this seriously, if I'm not seeking your face in any way. So we always begin with a cleansing of the heart. And that's how, when people receive, say, isn't it interesting how so-and-so received? Because their heart was open. They'd been cleansed. And so they could come before the Lord and gaze at Jesus and say, Lord, as much as I know, my heart has been clean. I've come for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've sought you. And, you know, there's even some people I know who have fasted and prayed. They said, I want my heart to be right. Now, I don't see the prerequisite in Scripture, but I can see the point of it. They just wanted their heart right before the Lord because God, they were anticipating God doing something, and they knew they wanted their heart clean. So to be cleansed from all known and all conscious sin. If there's something impure, I know this, that if there's something impure, it always has its residence in the heart. It won't be something outside. It'll be something inside. It's usually something outside. That's easy to come before the Lord. It's pretty simple. And we all tend to know those kind of things. But those things of the heart those things, those attitudes. How perhaps I had a different attitude, a bad attitude that I should have had, and I never came before the Lord to deal with that. And it's, oh, well, it's just, you know. No, it may well be important to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not enter in fullness. The Holy Spirit will not take up residence in a heart that is not clean. He waits till my heart is clean. And when I come to before him, for him to fill me, and there would be a great deal less of Owen and more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit, more of God's plan for our lives. So a heart that refuses to be cleansed is in collision with sin. A heart that is in this collusion with Satan, actually, because I have not come before the Lord. But when all is right, and it's pretty simple, so it's not complicated. When all is right between the soul and God, then the Holy Spirit enters the life with his pronounced testimony. And how many people over the years and over the, not centuries, but over my life, I've seen people come to the Lord, and they came first, and there was, people say, well, you know, you don't have to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. There's a value in waiting. Not in order too much to receive the gift as to repair your heart. There's a place about it. There's just something about it. Rather than come, you know, running willy-nilly up to the front and no heart check, no just expecting something to happen, and then being surprised when it doesn't happen. But when some heart has been readied before the Lord, I find that that person will often come in very quickly to this great, wonderful gift. And I'm sure we could have time for some testimonies. Maybe we will be able to do that. But they tend to right the wrongs when they search their hearts. And so you sit there and say, well, how long does a person tarry, since there's no scriptural basis for tarrying? Well, as long as it takes till you feel your heart's right. Say, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you. As much as I know, there's nothing in my heart. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, as far as I know, Lord, my heart is right before you. Now I'm coming to receive. And you can come with boldness because the wrongs, you've righted the wrongs. And when all of this has been taken away, the Holy Spirit brings his blessed entry into all of our lives. And when God sees that we desire cleanliness, I think that's mostly it. That when God looks down, he looks at you, he looks at me, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a heart that just wants to be clean. I say, God, I want to be clean. I want my heart to be pure. And when he sees that we are wholly given up to him, then he seals us with the Holy Spirit. I think that's when the sealing takes place. He seals us when we say, Lord, anything that's not of you, I renounce. I turn from it. And I'm coming to you to receive this magnificent gift that you promised that I could have. So he puts a seal upon the heart that is honest, that heart that is sincere, that heart that is pure and clean. That's the heart he comes and he enters in into the fullness of the Spirit. I think there's another thing. It's not just that my heart would be, that's an important thing, and I'll come back to that. But there's a second thing, and that is the atmosphere. I find you're not often filled with the Holy Spirit when you're watching the hockey game. Perhaps that's a good time to be, but I don't think that's a common thing where people say, oh, yeah, most people were filled when they were watching the hockey game. No. And neither were people who were watching the late night movie. You know what I'm saying? He said that's not usually the people that receive. The people who receive the baptism of the Spirit are people who are actually looking whenever they can for an atmosphere, a prayerful atmosphere. So there might be an invitation to come to the front of the church. That's a great atmosphere. And that person comes and, why, I just want to present myself before the Lord. Especially when that opportunity has come. He says, you know, if you as an earthly father would give a good gift, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, ask. There's prayer there. for those that will ask. And when you ask of the Lord, you've searched your heart, you've cleansed your heart, and now you come before the Lord, and you seek any opportunity you can. When I was baptized in the Spirit, I kind of actually was one of those chronics that didn't receive. At least that's how I felt, at any rate. I don't think maybe I was, but so I would come forward. I'm sure that the speaker would probably say, oh, here he comes again, you know. When Val was baptized in the Spirit, she tells the story that the ladies of the church and the people of the church were kind of concerned about her and her friend because they were going through saying, well, you know, we're going to get baptized in the Spirit. We're going to get baptized in the Spirit. We're going to get baptized in the Spirit. It's going to happen tonight. And, well, yes, it could be. But hoping they wouldn't be crushed, right? Now, you have to be in this little town to get the full measure of the impact here. But anyway, as soon as the service was over and they invited people to come down to receive, right, of the baptism of the Spirit, they were not disappointed. God met them, so much so that they're 14 years old or 14 years old, something like that, they drew big chalk marks on the floor of the cement floor of the church, just to forever mark that here, I lift my Ebenezer. They knelt there. They were the only ones. And all the rest of the people in the church were saying, oh, please, God, don't let them be heartbroken. Didn't have to worry at all. But it was, what was it in? They were in prayer. Where was I that? I was in prayer. I think I'd be pretty good in saying this, that everyone that I know who's ever received was in a prayerful atmosphere. Whether they were at a service or whether they were at a small group or they were in church, wherever it was. It might have been even when they were lifting their hands and worshiping Jesus and just thanking him in a regular service. You know, just singing, I love you, Lord, I lift my voice to you. And the Spirit of God comes and drops out of heaven onto your life. And that's when it happened. But there was a prayerful atmosphere. Make a note of that. That, to me, I think, is one of the missing ingredients. Acts chapter 1, 12 to 14, he's talking about, he says, hey, we were all of one, we were in prayer, in one accord. We were praying. I don't doubt that some people will get filled tonight. Why? Because it's an atmosphere of prayer. And when we pray and we ask God for things, he shows up. And I'm just looking at Richard here. Richard, over the years, you think of the people that you know, it was a prayerful setting, wasn't it? Maybe we'll have you comment on that later if you have some thoughts on that. But it's just, when you see a moment, go for it, because it might be it may well be a Holy Spirit moment. The place of prayer in seeking the baptism of the Spirit is most important. And Jesus' great desire for his disciples was that they might experience his mighty baptism. And so I made my note was, look for ways to give yourself to prayer. It might be, it could be just when you're kneeling beside your bed at night. It could be that you're having devotions in the morning. There's no magical moment for it. It's just that your heart was open and there was a prayerful moment and you said, Lord, I want you, all of you. Fill me, baptize me. And that's God just needs that little moment and he's ministering to you for sure. So most people are in prayer when they're baptized in the Spirit. That's just how it is. But I do know this for sure, that all of them are praising when they received the baptism and spoke in other tongues. I know that to be a fact. I don't know if anyone has ever received the baptism of the Spirit who wasn't praising. I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That kind of the fruit of your lips. It's not, well, see, if somebody will come and they'll stand there or in their home or wherever it was. And we say, what are you doing? I'm waiting. Well, what are you waiting for? The Holy Spirit to come. It's not like waiting for a bus, you know. You know that, right? See, it's not that, there's something active about it. I'm already praising. The angels are praising. And so we bless the Lord with all of our might and all of our power. And as we're praising the Lord with our lips, we give audible praise. You cannot really praise the Lord with your lips that are closed. There's something about uttering wonderful statements to Jesus, telling him you love him. And I know you've done that. I'm sure that's happened for most of us here. So what happens then? So if our hearts are clean and we have opened ourselves, that when, and even you could even go to the bank with this, say every time there's a prayer moment in my church, I'm going to go to that. I'm going to wait on the Lord. See, the night that I was filled at this Bible camp in the prairies, I kind of concluded something, that if it takes me 150 days to come through on this thing, because other people were baptized and other people that were just around me and they were all, you know, ministering to the Lord in tongues, and so I came quite often until the one night that I came. I don't know why things are the way they are, but I was praising the Lord and telling him I loved him and telling him that I wanted all that he had for me with my life. And this person kind of stopped me and said, what are you doing? And I said, told him I was waiting for the Lord. He said, well, it's a free gift. So he said, when I lay my hand on you right now, he said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I did. He laid his hand on me, and I was filled with the Spirit. But I stopped. I was speaking in tongues. I'd never done that in my whole life. If my parents would have seen that, that would have been really, really bad. They would not have appreciated that, or Val's relatives either. It's a little bit beyond them there. And I stopped, and they said, he said, why did you? I used to remember it vividly. I could even take you where we were kneeling. He said, why did you stop? I said, because it sounded like me. He said, if it sounds like anybody else, I'm leaving. It needs to sound like you. See, I guess I thought it was something weird or something. I don't know what I thought. But there's oftentimes these are, you know, things in your life that you don't quite understand a lot about. But I remember running back to the cabin where I was staying and dropping on my knees and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I knew that I had received something from the Lord. But it was in, again, an atmosphere. It was in prayer before, and then there was even more prayer and praise when I received. So there we have it, just some of the things that set the stage. But here's how it all comes together. Regardless of any experiences that you might have had or your friends had or somebody had, we receive it by faith. When Jesus said, I'm going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit, he was talking about this, the very thing that I'm talking about. And we receive it by faith. How do I know that? Galatians chapter 3 talks about the blessings of Abraham. And so we know something about that. Maybe we'll just take a moment to turn that. I think that, here we are, just a sec. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Was it not be your eyes that Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified? Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit? A little footnote. He's received. Did you receive the Spirit? Now drop over to verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that he might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Not working something up. I think I probably had some kind of wrong views that if I really, you know, if I kept doing something, if I shouted or did something more, that it would come. But no, because that wouldn't be by faith. We receive this by faith. It's impossible to receive any spiritual blessings by any other ways than faith. That's the one prerequisite. And so Paul's right. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit by faith? Because if you did, then he said, that's how it works. It can't come with unbelief or self-effort will not bring about the desired results. So a real faith always brings a real experience. Brother Pritchard was often wary about things of the Spirit, worried about people bringing things in that shouldn't. He says, there are so many cases of empty people laying empty hands on empty heads, having empty experiences. Why do those things stay with you forever, I wonder? But they do. But he's right. A real faith always brings a real experience. Not some crazy, goofy thing. I remember I was at, in a certain setting, I'll leave the place out of it, but and these people got into some things, and they were bringing their leg up over their head while they're walking. And I just simply asked if there was a reason for why they would think of that. And I think probably they saw somebody do that in a meeting. And so they were doing that. But it just, to me, I thought, what has that got to do with anything? But it was just, you know, I say people get into things. And they see it's something done in a meeting, and so they're doing the same thing. And it's a simple thing. There's no need to be complication in doing antics and crazy things, at least in my mind, crazy things. So we must, if there's anything that has to happen here now, we must first believe. We must first believe. And I know that often the eyes of the seeker often is upon the experience rather than the baptizer. You know, you're focusing on your sound of your praise, your I don't know what else you might be doing, but it's simply, we must believe. We focus on Jesus. Don't focus on tongues. Don't focus on experience. Don't focus on what happened to your uncle. Don't focus on anything else. Just come in faith. And that's what we'll be doing tonight. That's the essence of it. After our brother speaks, and anybody who wants prayer can receive it. We have the time and the desire. So we receive by faith this baptism, trusting God and praising Him for it. So just saying, thank you, Lord. As far as I know, I've met the reality here. I have purged my heart. I have come before you. I have come in faith. Now by faith, I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. By faith. By faith. We trust God and we praise Him for it. And we insist to the Lord that we have that for which we have prayed. We have that which we have prayed. Regardless of feelings. Regardless of feelings. I think I was one of those people that I got into the feeling thing. I didn't feel this. I didn't feel that. And it's misleading. By faith. So I'm laying hold of this by faith. I don't care what it feels like or looks like or sounds like or somebody else. Lord, I believe now that I've received. I, by faith, just like salvation. It's funny, with salvation we don't do this, but we do this with the Holy Spirit. Salvation will say, oh, did you give your heart to the Lord tonight? And they say, yes, I gave my heart to the Lord. Now, did you feel anything? No, I don't know. Well, did you shake? We never ask if anybody felt anything in a salvation service, right? We say those who like to give their heart to Christ. Did you wiggle? Did you giggle? Did you? Was there? What was happening? We say, did you turn your? We simply, did you repent of your sin and receive Jesus? Yes, good. By faith, you were saved, right? By faith, you were saved. Why would it be any different if you received the Spirit by faith? Then you, if it's a salvation, but then you've received this by faith too. And just by faith. Say, well, I haven't spoken in tongues yet. Don't worry about that. That's not the thing to worry about. That's not your concern. The baptizer is in charge of those things. Don't say, I believe in full time, in the fullness of time. For me, I was way too self-conscious as a teenager. I mean, I was quite self-conscious of it. And therefore, it was harder to receive because of that self-consciousness. And then so it was actually a little bit later that somehow I got over that self-consciousness and I got the whole thing. But I'm just telling you that don't be mislaid when somebody says, I believe I was baptized in the Spirit by faith, but I didn't feel anything. That's okay. Did you come in? Yes. Then let's seal it right now. Let's say right now you've asked for the gift. It's yours by faith. Now let's, from this point on, believe that all the manifestations will be given to you in full time. And I think that's the manifestations of the Spirit of God are wonderful and powerful. So, regardless of our feelings, Mark 11:24 just talks about that. If you believe and that you have received and you don't doubt, it will be yours. And so I wrote, when our lives are fully yielded to God and we've placed ourselves on His altar and prayed for fullness of the Spirit, we know that we have prayed according to His will. if you pray according to my will. In 1 John 5:14, here again, he says, you know, that the desires of your heart, if they're yours already. And so I wrote this: Dear Jesus, I thank you and praise you because you have given me the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm daring to trust you. And this is not dare to trust God. Dare to trust him. And so some say, well, I was agonizing in prayer. I don't think agonizing, although it's an interesting word, agonizing is not a substitute for faith. And people say, well, Brother Owen, I remember this. People, Brother Owen, I'll tell you this. This is what preachers used to do. They lean onto the pulpit. Marcel can be practicing this. He'd say, there's more people receive the Holy Spirit after midnight than before midnight. I'm like, what? What? I don't think so. The only reason that they received more after midnight than before is because they finally trusted God and received it. And besides, they were getting tired. So agonizing is not a substitute for faith. Not at all. Faith is rest and trust. So we say, Lord, here I am, an unworthy person. But Jesus, your Son, has purchased me with his own precious blood. The baptism of the Holy Spirit belongs to me and the salvation that you have for me. And so I lay my hand on your word and believe that this is for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have that for which I prayed. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. By faith. Just like salvation. Absolutely. Somebody say, what about salvation? Oh, we all wonder about salvation. Some days I don't feel saved. But what's that got to do with anything? I am saved because by faith I have trusted Jesus. And so we come with the same reason. Lord, I've trusted your Son for salvation. And now I'm trusting you for the baptism of the Spirit, which you, I wouldn't even know anything about it if you wouldn't have told me. So this is from you. I want everything that's from you. Now, so you say, well, I want everything except tongues. I don't want that. That's weird. It can be, but it shouldn't be. It doesn't need to be. People respond differently to things, and so sometimes it can be just different, quite different. But you can't go like it's like a buffet. I'd like a little bit of this. Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be good. A little bit of that. A little bit, yeah. Could I have a bit of that? Not too much of that. I don't want all that stuff. I don't really want that. So could I just have a small portion? I don't want anything that you know that. I say, yeah, and I know how much you receive out. None. Because you can't come with condition. I knew lost his name, but he was from Fruitvale and BC when we were there. And he was with Full Gospel Businessman. And he hadn't received the baptism of the Spirit yet, so he didn't quite, but he wanted it. So he told God, he said, but I don't want, I want something that's not noisy. Don't want any noise. There's a lot of noise going on in the meetings. So I just want something with no noise. Well, you think that God has a sense of humor. Somebody went over and just prayed, just gently put their hand on his head and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There's like a cannon went off, just boom. And he just was touched by God, and he flew backwards like 15, 20 feet. He flew back and he hit the stacking chairs that were they were stacked for other events in the building, I guess. And he hit those chairs and they tipped. More noise has not been recorded since. It was the noisiest baptism ever recorded. Ever recorded in that place, I am sure. But I said to him, I said, wow, that was amazing. I said, what was the secret? He said, when I told God he could do it the way he wanted. See, I hindered God. I just didn't want this or that, and I knew somebody that seemed a bit different, and so, but when he just said, Lord, your way, your time, anytime. I want you. I want to be filled with you. So I lay my hand on your word and believe that this is for me. And I thank you, the Lord, that that which I have, that which I prayed for, I now have by faith. Yeah, amen. 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 You may be here this morning and you have a question, but I don't want it to be a theological question in the sense of argument. Just a question that you have about your experiencing this. And then we'll pray. So, do you have a question? It doesn't have to be just exactly what I was talking about, but something that you say, I wondered about this for my life. Oh, good question. Well, if you take the Bible seriously, there's 9 gifts and 9 fruit, right? So we know this to be a fact, that there are 9 fruits of the Spirit and 9 gifts. And that coughing, falling down, tipping over, sucking, blowing, yelling, screaming, sliding, bumping, burping. These all things have happened, right? Pastor, you know, you've been in meetings like that. They are manifestations of the flesh. Doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's just they're manifestations of the flesh. They are not gifts of the, or fruit of the Spirit. They aren't. Right, because we have what the list. The list is already complete. We know there are 9 gifts, for sure, that are available for us. How do we know? Because they're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we know that's what they are. Fruit is different than gifts, right? Fruit has to do with character. And that's why you can be still maybe a difficult person for a while. The power of God is on your life, but there's maybe some things that still need to be worked on. But that's where more fruit grows. And I think we should be concerned as much as manifesting. Surely when someone receives the baptism of the Spirit, surely they're not going to be lesser people. I mean, I like to think that, you know, that people would say, wow, you're really growing since then. Yeah. Very good. That's a great question. Needs more time to answer. Somebody else. I find these really helpful, just hearing. Now you're probably afraid to ask any questions. Yeah. Okay, yeah, please. A little louder.
Is it true that as we read the word, we receive the Spirit?
Uh-huh.
As well, I'm not discounting we have a gift, but is the word enough?
That's a very good thought. You know, I think that it should, I don't know if it always does, maybe, but it should begin, the more that I read the word, there should be growth in my life because of that. But I don't think, you see, if you have just the word, you dry up. If you have just the Spirit, you blow up. But if you have the Spirit and the word, you grow up. That's not original with me, but it's very good. Because that's how it should be. So I think they're both, it shouldn't be either or. The word should bring growth. And growth should bring a greater desire for Jesus in my heart. I find, by the way, there's two things that have helped me through the baptism of the Spirit. I think one is it made Jesus more real to me. I think that's the big one for me. It just seemed that Jesus was more real after I was filled with the Spirit. It just seemed like that. And that's really worthwhile to me. Oh, the other thing is, it keeps me effervescent, keeps me fresh. That's the other benefit of it. Other people have other benefits that they said, boy, since that time. But here's the thing. Don't make people, sometimes we have, it's like second-class citizens. Oh, do you speak in tongues? Oh, you don't. I see. there's no second-class citizens. We're just all needy people, and I want all that God has, and you want all that God has. We're not going to make this, I hope as long as I'm here, the church here is not going to be some kind of a tongues club, you know, where we're more into that than into Jesus. So there's always a need for balance, I think. But I see sometimes that that we need to be careful with some things because it leads us in ways that maybe are not so biblical. Just a thought. There was not somebody else. Jens, where were you? Yeah.
Oh. That I prayed through. And it was encouraging for me when you said, too, that it would be given to me in time. So I think I know that I did receive that baptism, so I will just be satisfied.
Yeah, happily, but there's maybe a desire for more.
Yeah.
But just, no. Richard, do you know what I think we should do? Are you feeling pretty good today? Could you come and stand here? Oh, maybe pray from there. Okay, pray from there. It doesn't matter where you... Richard has always had the things of the Holy Spirit on his heart, as long as I've known him. And I thought, what would we do? Let's stand together. Richard, you can keep seated if you want, but just everybody stand. Or we're going to run out of time here. But tonight, we'll have lots of time. I thought that you should, we have a microphone, do we have one? There it is. We're going to get Richard to pray over us. Not just for tonight, which would be good if you include that, but all the time. Right? I've got friends who don't speak in tongues. I don't see them more spiritual than me. They're just great, lovely people. And so far, that hasn't been their experience. But I told him, I said, no, but it could be. It will be. Perhaps it will be. So I said, don't give up on this. So I'm going to get you to pray that the whole... Oh, he's going to check. Okay. That we just want the church filled with the Spirit. Individual life. But you can't. There's no such thing as a Spirit-filled church. There's only Spirit-filled Christians who go to church. And so if this church is to be Spirit-filled, you must be Spirit-filled. I must be Spirit-filled. Never mind how you got it or you're going to... whatever it takes for you to get it, get it. All right? Just go for broke. Say, God, I want everything you want. Because that's what I want. I want everything he's got for me. By faith. So lead us and let's just lift our hands in a pose of receiving. Even for now, for the days ahead, but even for other times as a church.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, first off, we acknowledge your presence.
Yes.
We acknowledge your gift of yourself to us. Yes. Through salvation. And then we think of all the other things that you've promised us. Mm-hmm. As we come faithfully to you. Lord, I pray for tonight that anybody that's coming tonight will have already prepared their hearts. They'll come hungering and thirsting after the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because, Lord, in ourselves, we can do nothing. It has to be you.
Yes, amen.
It has to be you, Lord.
Oh, amen.
And, Lord, I pray that you would move in a way you've never moved in some lives.
Yes.
Here tonight.
Yes.
Even right now, Lord, you're moving in our lives. You're preparing us for what you want us to be doing for you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, just slowly speak to us this afternoon. Whatever we're doing, you can reach us, whether we're washing dishes, whether we're moving around, whether we even have to go to work, or whatever it is, you can speak to us by your Spirit. Because the Spirit is in us. If we've accepted you as our Lord, the indwelling Holy Spirit is within us.
Yes, yes, true.
And we want that indwelling Holy Spirit to be released from within us for service for you.
Yes, yes.
Lord, one of the most beautiful things that I think about when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is how much you became alive to me.
Yeah.
You became real. All of a sudden, your word started to speak to me in ways it had never spoke before. And my prayer got better and better and better.
Thank you.
And then I got the speaking in tongues, another evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You opened a whole new avenue to my life. You made a way that I can have a private time with you in a language that the devil can't even intercept. You can answer prayer through tongues that'll move mountains. So, Lord, we want to have your faith.
Yes.
And, Lord, tonight we pray, and this afternoon or this morning, that you would speak to us. Maybe some of us are even going to get touched by the Holy Spirit before we even come out tonight.
Yes, yes.
But, Lord, we're going to come expecting, because that's the way you move. We come expecting. Lord, we come hungry.
Yes.
We become thirsting. So, Lord, as we prepare for tonight and we end this service, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us as you only can speak.
Yes.
You would meet needs that you can only meet.
Yeah.
Lord, we were praying earlier for healing.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that's a gift of the
yes.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, may that be released.
Lord, yes, that be released for those that really need a touch. Even for myself, Lord,
yes.
I've got a balance issue.
Yeah.
From a virus within my inner ear. And Lord, sometimes I feel real good, and other times I feel like I'm going to fall flat on my face. But Lord, I'm believing you for a healing.
Yes. Yeah.
And Lord, I think of any of the other ones here that have got situations, Lord, touch them. It's only you can touch them. We
Jesus.
Pray in your precious name.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Amen. Good. So good. So good. Come tonight, right? Is there any hockey game on? I think they're all canceled. Come tonight. God bless. Thank you.